Welcome to Women in WP,
a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community. Welcome to another episode of Women in WP. I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Apps.
I'm Angela Bowman.
And today our guest is Fairy Daravut, who is a writer and professional blogger.
Hello. Hi.
Thanks for coming on the show today. So let's start off by asking our first question, which is, what was your path or journey to WordPress?
I think blogging, I like to write, and I think WordPress was the best choice. And yeah, I think I just started writing, honestly. I started my journey writing for a magazine, eventually website. And when it came to website, WordPress was a natural choice because of a lot of themes that it offered. So yeah, it's like kind of natural.
Did you have any specific challenges you felt like as a beginner to WordPress? Was it confusing? Was it hard? Like, what were the hardest parts about getting started with WordPress specifically?
So, okay, way back when I started writing, I really didn't know how to actually start a blog. Okay, so I'm a technologically challenged, I'm a writer, okay, and I'm a commerce, I'm a business student, and it is so confusing. I remember when I made that, I took 3 hours, and it was exhausting. It was exhausting to decide which color. I'm not a design person. Words make sense to me. Numbers and design, numbers don't make sense at all. Design, okay, at least it looks good. Okay, but still, there were so many choices. I think the strength the strength of WordPress is that it provides you with countless themes, and that was exactly the overwhelming bit, which for a newbie, like I started writing way back in 2012 and 13, and at that time I didn't have many, because I came from a background where not many techie people were around. So it became very difficult to, you know, have someone to guide me on how to go about it. And I just selected the default thing. And yeah, it gets so, because it gives you so many things, it gets a little difficult.
Are there any other blogs, books, resources that were your kind of go-to that you found online were particularly helpful when you had questions about everything?
So I didn't go to people. I just started going to WordCamps and I asked people and they helped out. I didn't go to anything. I just asked right people what to do. So yeah.
I love it that you just went right to, like, it took me years until I found WordCamps. I struggled with things just, you know, banging my head against, you know, figuring out what's going on. And now I'm a designer. So for me, words are, you know, so confusing to me. So I love what you do, and what you bring to the community is really valuable. And one of the things I'm very passionate about is, this is why I do a lot of custom WordPress stuff. And that's what I like about WordPress, is that you can customize things, but so you can streamline it so that there aren't 7,000 choices for you to make when you're right. You're a writer. You just want to write. Yeah, like, just let you write. That's, yeah, I agree with you.
Now, so many of us, I know, you know, the three of us here that are doing design and development, and people we've interviewed are using self-hosted WordPress. And I noticed that your website is on WordPress.com. So can you tell us about what led you to choose the hosted version and what you think are the benefits of that?
So initially, it was difficult to, I just wanted to write. And I like, where should I start? And one of my friends suggested, hey, WordPress, come on, do that. It's awesome. And like, I tried. And at that point, I didn't have that friend. So that person eventually became a very good friend. But I thought I'll do it on my own. And since then, it has been like a default. And I am going to go ahead and have my own, host, right? That's why I'll eventually have it. But because I'm a writer, the thing is, I write for others. The terrible bit is I don't write so much for me. And now I made it a point to write more. So sadly, I haven't been focused more on writing for me. And that's why my blog has been a little, I didn't give that much heart and soul how much I should have. Because I've been writing for other brands. And that was like, it happens, I think, when when what you like, you start earning from it, you tend to like put it a bit on a back burner because, you know, what you like, it's work and you want a little bit distance from it. So that happens.
What type of writing do you do like for yourself?
For me, okay, for brands, for the thing that gets me bread and butter is basically stuff, I tend to joke this, that goes into your spam folders. I like that joke. But basically marketing stuff, and I'm more into long form writing. I write website content. I was just talking about SEO and how everything is kind of a hoax and conspiracy and all that. It's nothing. It's basically you have to do research about what you're writing and just stay true to your content. Content, again, that's very confusing. I'll go on a rant about that also because content is confusing. You are taking words, you're taking GIFs, memes, images, videos as content. That gets very, very confusing. Stick to one thing. That's why copywriting is okay. It's about writing. It's about words. Makes sense. But when you add all these things, it becomes very difficult to define. And that's why the role. So my role as a professional was content developer, content strategist, content writer. Basically, it means the same thing. I write things. I visualize things. It's kind of one and the same. They just euphemisms. They just give you new words. When it comes to what I write for me is I write poems. I write fiction. I write flash fiction. I think flash fiction is really nice. 99 words. Just there's an image and you have to write a story based on that. And recently what I have done is copy tests. So for a writer, there are a lot of copy tests that you will be, you know, copy tests, they're so annoying. I hate them. But when you're out of work, you tend to give so many of them. So I decided that is an idea. How about I publish it on my blog? So since then, I've been trying to fill up my blog with lots of writing, just going deep into my folders and drafts and sent items and digging through stuff that, hey, this is good. This needs actually... this needs to be out in the world. So I've been scheduling posts, and every day for the month of February, I have a post ready. So yeah.
Wow. Well, I have some questions about writing for brands because I write a lot on my blog, but it's all about topics I feel like I'm, you know, fairly versed in. So what's the process when you're writing for, you know, like a company that you're not familiar with? It's new to you. What do you have to do to be able to produce content that way?
You have to be familiar with it. And when I say familiar with it, you have to really read about everything that you can get your hands on. So one of my brands was an amusement park. So they have all these rides and everything. So go there and see how you as a user would find it. Like, you know, why are you writing, first of all? Purpose is very important. Knowledge is very important. Because when you know what you're writing about is when that authority comes, and that's when the reader knows that you're not wasting the time. And I think that's why when you write for a brand, it becomes very important you read each and everything about the brand, because even after doing that, clients will say it's not good. That tends to happen a lot. So it's better that you know what you're talking about, and it's research is your best friend. You know, you have to research like a maniac.
So you're saying you got to go to an amusement park for your
no,
job?
No, I did. As I said, clients are terrible. I didn't get to, but I read a lot of. I know.
That would have been great. I have to go on all the rides. I have to try all of the things. Everything.
FOMO. Bad case of FOMO. I'm writing about rides. I'm writing about fine dining, and I couldn't go there. And I would tell this to everyone. And you know, that's not the case with other brands that I've written. I have experienced products that I've written. So my last client was Tiles, the floorings, and we actually got an experience to see how it looks, about interior, how it's going to look when it's implemented, you know. And that really makes a lot of difference, because your experience is what you're giving it to them. So I think that's what it is. If you really have to go bare, what is it that you're writing about? You are giving them an experience. Blogging is about giving them a conversation. It's not about straight away converting them, because for that, there's different kind of communication. There are ads, not even social media. That's totally different. Blogs is for having a conversation.
So I'm sure Amy also encounters this, but we have a lot of clients who have business sites and they're kind of like glorified business cards. They're brochures, if you will, online. And it can be challenging for us to, you know, draw the words out. And also to get beyond just the basic about us, our services. How important do you feel like it is to have that blog and those articles versus just those static pages with the about and services? And how do you convince clients that they need to invest the time or money to get this longer form content written?
I honestly don't think everyone needs to have a blog because it depends on what your purpose is. So if your website, right now is a business card, right? Maybe you just want people to know about it. Okay, you don't need a blog. Maybe you need more people to not only know, but you have campaigns, you're doing something special, there's a discount, then you need to know about them. So in that case, you have to leverage your social media. And for that, maybe blog will help. But again, as I said, blog is more about conversation. So maybe you want to talk more about culture, like the kind of work that you do. You want to show people the other side of business. Maybe then a blog would make more sense. So I think blogs, I would recommend personally for big brands who have resources, because honestly, it's a very long game. Because it's long game. I mean, you want to build connection through a blog. You don't want to convert them. So it makes sense if you're looking for a cherished, good, long-standing relationship. So maybe for a financing bank firm, it makes sense to have a blog. If you have a salon, maybe you don't need to have a blog. Okay, you may have a certain amount of blog posts. Okay, what kind of hairstyles might look good for certain amount of facial structures? And there is limited amount of blog posts, say like 30, that's it. If it's finance, you want to make long-lasting relationship, maybe you'll have more blog posts on a monthly basis. So it kind of depends on the client and what they're looking for.
I really love that differentiation between using the blog to build relationships, not to convert. And yeah. And you hear people trying to use the blog for conversion. And you know, but you're talking about all these other means that you can use for conversion. And so that's, I think that's a great takeaway.
I think that's what people keep asking me as well, you know. How do I make money from blog? I'm like, dude, no. I'm so sorry to say this. You can't make money off your blog right away. Because when you talk about money, there is that you want it right away, okay? And you can't make it right away. So I have my personal blog, which is to show that this is what I like to do, okay? I have my professional work also somewhere else. This is my place. This is for stuff like these, like, you know, to have more community, to have a face for community events like this, for WordPress and for other interesting things. So I think the purpose is very important. It's so simple and it's easy to be forgotten, but it's important that we come back to this point. Like, what is the purpose?
You know, there's a really strong link between the content writing, like you're saying, and user experience design, because we all have to go back to the why. Yeah. And a thing that I've noticed, and I would love to hear your story of working with clients of, well, the business themselves, they think, well, I'm the audience, but you're not the audience. And your customers or potential customers really don't care about you. They care about what you can do for them. So it requires going back to that why and to create that conversation to have that personal side of things. I'd love to hear some of the, you know, stories that you have, any success stories or
sad stories. I'm so sorry.
Or sad stories. Well, that works. I mean, we all go through all of these, you know, it's all comes a part of the business that we do.
Yeah, there have been many instances. So recently we did Valentine's Day campaign at my place and we did everything. And they just, so we wanted to showcase each and, so right now I'm working in a consumer electronics brand and we thought about, the idea was to not give them chocolates. How about give them technological products, because sweets are outdated, we are more innovative, give them a headphone and all that. So we thought, how about we make a campaign for each product? And it was so nice. So we had headphones, we had power banks, we had, what do we had? We had three more items, and it got slashed.
Oh, that's so sad. Because that sounds like such an awesome idea.
Exactly.
That's so great.
Everyone liked it. Like, we don't want chocolates because, and it's pocket friendly. It's pocket friendly, but it's like no one is going to think that because again, we talk about audience, right? The first thing, they want to stay in the classic way. They want to, okay, no one is going to believe that they want to gift the gadget. They want to go the outdated way of flowers and chocolate. And we said, no, people want change. No, people don't want change. And because it's so new, we have nothing to back up. Hey, this can work, right? It is innovative. And I think in future, someone smart enough is going to go ahead with this idea. And we were not. So it kind of hurts. So many sad stories. Yeah.
You do this all the time with clients, don't you, Amy? Have this conversation about the why. And Michelle Schultz, like her whole podcast with us was about the why. And I think this is so timely for me because I am working with a client right now. When we were doing all our kind of meeting and talking about what they wanted with their website, I said, well, what are the goals? And they were just so confused by that. Like, well, what are we trying to do here? And I don't think they even realized like, oh, well, we're actually trying to drive event registration. And it was like, okay, but where are we doing that here? Oh, well, we're not. And so it's like, okay, well, maybe that needs to be the priority or maybe we need to rethink this. Do you even need this site? Or, you know, like it was for a blog site.
I swear, educating takes a long part of it, pitching, right? When you meet new clients, half of the time goes in educating them. And then you can't even blame them. Why would they, like, you as a service provider is educating them. They have no, you are trying to like get more money out of me and you can't, you know, it's weird. I think clients need to do better. They need to educate themselves.
I think what's really hard because, you know, especially you learn in business or from what I don't have a business degree, but I run my own business for like 10 years. So I understand that you really care, like, and the larger the business, the more you care about the bottom line. And so you look at things that I can see a number. I want to see a number and then I want to see it growing or I want to see it go down and I can make a pie chart out of it or I can do that kind of thing. I could put a number value to something and things like user experience where you have to like research like who's the user, things like the writing of like writing to that, writing a blog, giving that company of some personality or some conversation to connect with their potential. There's no way of putting a number to that.
True.
And that's so hard for people. And it's, I don't know the answer to it.
Yeah, no one knows.
Nobody knows, apparently. Yeah, it's true.
Because how can you measure something like that? How can you measure how much conversation you have? We all know that our organic reach is a joke. Come on. Facebook messed it up. Google is also just is biased. Like, you can't really believe it. And I think we just have to, I think the client needs to be convinced enough to believe us. And that's why I try not to explain a lot. You know, it kind of worked for me. Yes, I've lost freelancing. I do have a full-time job, so that kind of helps. So I'm not really keen on freelancing. If someone comes, I say, this is how it is. See if it works for you. If it doesn't, okay. But yeah, I do have the privilege of having a full-time job. I can't think I can do this as a freelancer, but I don't tend to explain a lot, you know. Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of magical thinking when it comes to the web and to this process, and I think that's why people haven't identified their why and their goals and that ROI, because there's so much magical thinking about it. It's like, well, we'll just do this, we'll put this out there, and something's going to happen, you know. I mean,
it's going to become viral. It's
whatever, right? It is, yeah, that they think is going to happen.
If you build it, they will come.
No, viral is, no, it doesn't happen like that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I always tell people, does. I said, it's like you're building, you've created an ice cream hut in the middle of the Himalayas. And like, how's anyone going to find you in the middle of the Himalayas and why? And that's exactly what the situation is when you put your little dot on the World Wide Web. You are lost in the middle of a high mountain range that is hard to find, hard to track. And why would people take the trouble and time to go there? And why do you need ice cream in the middle of a snowy mountain range? You know,
ice cream's good when it's cold too. I'm just going to put that out there.
That regulate your body temperature, maybe like make you warmer. No, no.
I'm an all seasons ice cream fan. I'm not going to lie. So let me ask you this. I know that you have been a WordCamp speaker. Can you tell us more about what you've talked about and where you've been speaking?
I've been speaking in my home city, that's Mumbai. Then there's Pune, which is around 500 kilometers, close to 500 kilometers. Then I went to Kochi. So since 2015, I've been speaking, and I think I've spoken at six times. Six times. Yeah, that's been cool. My first topic was how to use humor in your content writing, and I'm really proud of that.
So I have a question. So, yes. So I know what the WordPress community looks like here in the Midwest. What is the WordPress community in your area? Is it, you know, really strong? Do you have a lot of meetups, or you see people a lot, or network a lot, or anything like that?
So I think there are people. It is pretty active. We try to have once in a month, but it tends to happen sometimes once in 2 months. And there are regular folks. Okay, they're regular folks. We try to attract more people. We try to attract more women, which is always an issue. I think that's it. And we also try to attract more content people. And I know why content people are not coming, because it's too technical. I have tried having more people, more design people, more content people. And I think the main struggle is because it's too techy. I've tried attending the talks, and they are too technical for me to understand. So it needs to be more friendly for content folks. And then at the same time, I think, why should WordPress even like do that? I know, like, the major part is not the writer. We are the front people, right? So it's a bit complicated, because I've heard the reason I came on board, like, they gave me a chance to speak first time, is they were looking for more content people. And it's weird that we are not getting more people. We're also trying to get more women, and it's, I think, slowly we're gonna build that up. So yeah,
I wondered about that, because all of my experience, like working with dev teams in India, and it's always very technical. And it just goes to show how important it is to have people like you in that, and speaking and being visible in those communities, because now you're right. I think people will start like, oh, it's not all technical. I do have a space here, which is really cool.
Thank you. You have interacted with Indian devs? Nice.
Yes. Actually, a couple different teams in my full-time job right now.
So. All right. That's cool.
Yeah. And I do too. I've worked with a couple Indian teams too, and women on the teams as well. And nice. Yeah. And it's interesting that you talk about how technical your WordCamps are, because at least the WordCamps that I've been to have been a real even mix.
Oh, nice.
And we've managed to have like 50% women speakers, 50% women attendees. And also we have tracks. So we have kind of a business content sort of track, and more of a designer like track, and more of a dev track. And so as planners, you know, planning out those different tracks and really kind of actively soliciting speakers for those tracks, but kind of it almost, like Tracy said, makes sense that your WordCamps are more technical, because here we're always going to India for the like technical support, and we have, you know, the programming needs and stuff. So it's almost like there's a reputation to be super competitive on the technical level. I wonder if it's like, well, we don't want to be like content people because we're the tech leaders of the world kind of thing. But what do you do for your full-time job?
Oh, I write for brands. Okay. I currently write for a consumer electronics brand. So I'm focusing more on the e-commerce website. So what goes on their Amazon and Flipkart pages. So basically I write what sells. It's simply put. So yeah.
So you're like providing content for what their products are on Amazon.
as a description, you can say product description. I also take care of their website, what goes on their website, how the product looks, packaging details. I think everything about the product, basically.
And how many of these brands that you're working with, do they have WordPress sites as their main site, or are they using other CMSs?
So I am very untechnical in this CMS. I'm so sorry. I don't know what that means. But I don't think it's WordPress. Currently, the website they have, it's not WordPress.
If you're working with a brand, just, you know, say any other brand, and they want you to update their website, are you writing the content and then you're like logging in and writing the blog post, or are you just providing them with the content and they take it from there?
So two jobs back, I had everything, and that was WordPress. I used to write blogs for them, and it was WordPress, so I know how to do that. But when you come, do I have a say in it? I really don't know, because honestly, it has never come to that. Either I've been working on WordPress or I've been working on something else. So right now, the blogs that I'm writing on the website, it's part of my job, and I'm more focused on e-commerce. So like, I barely have written any blogs. So yeah, it has never come into that, actually.
When you're writing descriptions for e-commerce, like, what if you have other people, like I support several WooCommerce sites, which is the WordPress plugin. And, those product descriptions are hard, and especially if you have kind of similar products. What's your advice for how people should approach their product descriptions and how much content to put into those?
So I think here it comes about branding, what your brand stands for. So right now my brand stands for it's best because it's pocket friendly. It's good. It's innovative. It's the best you will get in the market, but it's also not very hard on your pocket. So I'll work around that. It's really important that you have that tiny bit of USP. You know, I know it gets easily drowned, and that's why I say research is very important. When you have your USP, when you know what's your personality of brand. And when I say what does personality mean, is based brand is a human. It's a noun. Brand is a noun. How are you different from others? And I think that tiny bit really reflects, and we have to just stretch it. You have to describe it. You have to stretch it. And I think that's what I can say right now at this point, and not really go into details.
So it sounds like you're providing a unique voice. Like, you're at least trying to get a voice into the description, not just like a dull description of something. You're trying to infuse it with the vibe, if you will, of the company or their mission.
Because there are so many products or so many choices. I mean, why would anyone even get you? I mean, there are hundreds of products that are just same. Like, take, for example, a soap. I mean, what innovation are you going to do in a soap? No, you just have very little, and you just have to stretch it beyond comprehension, I think.
Yeah, I struggle with that with product descriptions with clients, and I'm, you know, they'll send me a little description and I'm like, you know, why would I come to your website and buy this when I can buy it on Amazon? And that's what you need to, you know, work into your product description, and they can almost never do it. I wonder if it's because they're too involved in the product and it's a struggle for them to create the content that would sell what they already know and love. I don't know.
I think they really like the product a lot, and they have difficulty to detach themselves because they really need to figure out how they want to describe it to someone else. You know, it's like, why? I mean, as I said, why is a very important question. And ask questions. Like, I ask a lot of questions, and I mean, they might sound stupid, but it's okay for me to comprehend because I'm going to write. I need to understand it. And maybe your user or the audience is going to be a very basic level individual, and I need to make them understand. So for a writer, for content, it needs to work for the expert and the beginner. It has to be the middle ground. It should be comprehensible to everyone, you know. So for that, I think I have the luxury to ask stupid questions. If somebody tells me that, so I had this thing, I had to write product descriptions also, and because it's a tech, kind of a tech product, like we were talking about internet booster. So you put in plug in that, and it boosts internet. I didn't know how it works. I took really long time. And I asked the tech team, and that fellow was like, "Arey, it's so simple. How come you don't understand?" And I just Like, what? Come on, who's going to answer? I have to explain it in a very simple way. And then I didn't get back to him right away, but I did thought about a comeback that, okay, I don't know this. Like, if someone asks me this question again, I'm going to say, I'm going to give you 4,000 doc and tell me all the prepositions. Can you do that? No, I can do that. So let's not have this conversation. So I didn't say that that time, but yeah, I mean, that's important to practice your comebacks.
I think it's really like, it's really hard when you're so close to something that to like take a step back and think about what if you never saw it before in your life or didn't, you know, so if you're like, that's where there's no stupid questions. Like there really isn't. It's that's because I'm sure you're not the only person to have that question. You're probably in the majority that have that same question. So when there, you have someone like you that that's really valuable to say instead of, well, oh yeah, it's this thing. Well, but what is that thing? Okay. Well, it's hard for the person that creates it or is so close to it to be able to describe that in a way.
Right.
It's not that already has that like pre-knowledge.
That is true. That is true.
You wrote in your description that you would like to start a podcast of your own.
Yeah.
Oh my God. What kind of podcast? Tell us about it.
So I have so many things in my mind and that's why it's just overlapping with everything. I want to start with my friend who I met from WordCamp. And we are thinking, should we keep it for WordPress? But then think we already have so many podcasts from the community. Do we really even need it? And I'm like, yes, let's do for movies and art and all that. And she's like, really? She's really not into that much. And I don't know. We still need to fix on that. But I would love to have something like this, like talking to so many people. I think this is amazing, right? Like you're just sitting here and you can just talk to everyone. And I think that's amazing. So yeah, I think that's on my card this year. Hopefully, I've been thinking since last year. So yeah, hopefully this year.
Well, you should definitely do it. And if we can do it, anybody can do it. Because clearly we're very, very professional podcasters with only professionalness that we're involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, I think there's space, even if there's a lot of WordPress podcasts, some of them come and go. And that you also can reach, you'll have a unique voice and you'll have your unique take on it and your kind of topics that you focus on that other people may not be focusing on. And you are in India. And so you're in a time zone where you could maybe reach a lot of people more in that, in those time zones where it's really hard for us to like, I really want to get some people from like Japan and other countries, you know, but it's like with that almost 12-hour time difference, it can be challenging, but you can kind of you can own that part of the world. We empower you. Go forward, young Jedi.
Thank you.
Well, and you know, we talk about like, well, what if there is even already a podcast? Well, it's not from your voice. And that's the one thing, like there was lots of podcasts, but we realized that there, you know, there was this gaping hole for like women being like front and center. And so I can imagine that you could pull people out of the woodwork that are too afraid of the technical, you know, to go to all the technical meetups. Because I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure there's lots and lots of people that are that same kind of, but are afraid to step out into it. And that's what we've experienced with this is people that are not the people that are usually first in line to be like, I'm going to talk about things and present and be on a podcast and be interviewed. But so it's pretty cool. So I agree. I think everyone should, you know, you should start this podcast. And
yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Have you thought about applying to speak at any WordCamps outside of India, like WordCamp US?
My friend was, not me, because I had some things to take care of. But yes, I would love to go out of my country. And I tried Japan last time, but we shifted from another city to the city. So in that, I mean, something or the other keeps coming up. And but it happens every year. That's the beauty of it, right? You can always plan.
So if anybody wants to sponsor Ferry to go to WordCamp US next year, please contact us and we'll put you in touch.
Awesome. That's so nice.
There are definitely grants and sponsorships out there. So if we can think of anything, we will send it your way.
Awesome. That'd be really nice.
When you are working on your own stuff, like your own personal writing, and you're putting it on your blog, who is your target? Do you have a target audience? Is it just for you? And what inspires you to write?
Just me. I write it for me. And if anyone wants to know me, I mean, that's my space. Of course, there's some stuff that I really like. I want everyone to know about it. So I post it on my social media. But mostly it's for me. It's good to bring that part of you outside, because most of my stuff doesn't get that. It's written by me. Most of the work that I do, I write a lot. Okay, I write a lot and it doesn't have my name on it, which is okay, fine. But this is me. Of course, it's great when it's appreciated and I get more likes, but that's okay. That's a plus, but that's the icing on the cake.
And do you have a following and get feedback on it?
Sometimes I do, but I have learned not to use that feedback, because I think it's very important after a point to create a filter. You need to know what's working and not, because I've done that. I've joined writing communities and they were good for some time. After that, not only the feedback kept repeating, it wasn't really important. So I thought that it's better I become self-reliant in what I want. And I think reading is the best way. Neil Gaiman said that, right? Like, you know, make art. Yeah, just go and do.
Anything that you're reading that is inspiring you, any books or poems or anything that's inspiring you for your own work?
Okay, I've started reading a lot of comics and I'm reading that as a grown-up, which is so fascinating, because as kids, you know, when you look at the same thing when you're a kid and when you grow up and you look at it, it's so different. For example, when you're a kid, all the children's animation, you tend to like fill in the gaps. Okay, this happened, right? But as a grown-up, you know, okay, there's a disconnect. So it's, I mean, that is a very small example, but you get so much layer when you look at it. And that's why now I appreciate animation and comics in a different way. Yes, the plot lines are simple, but how did that thought even originate? I mean, I'm really fascinated by it and I want that in me. I want how that wild thought just came into your mind. And yeah, I'm for that.
That's so great.
Actually, it is. I mean, I didn't realize it. Initially, I would say it overwhelmed, because, you know, when you start reading comics as a grown-up, what happens is it's too much. It's, first of all, it's too vibrant, right? It's so much color, okay? And there's a small bubble of text, saying text. But you take a moment to really consume that entire panel. I'm talking about one panel. And you look at it, okay. And then the monologue says you're taking a very long time and not moving ahead. But you do, because you want to. I think it's very important to note that you want to do this, because I met some people who were really, really into comics and I liked them and I liked how they thought. So I thought, let me give this a chance. And I'm so glad I did. So I like how the comics are originated, like how it thoughts. And art is so mind-blowing. Oh my God. How do they do that? And they're not getting enough credit. Wow. So I think that's, I'm 30. I'm going to be 31 next year. And I've kind of read more art than I did as a young person. I think that's a really interesting kick-ass thought.
So you'll have to send us some links to your favorite comics.
I will do
and
that.
And we'll put it in the show notes.
Just send us your favorites.
Oh, I like horror. Is it fine? I'm reading more of Japanese horror manga. So it's a little graphic. If you guys tell me what you like, so I can share you based on that.
Yeah, send us your favorites. And my son is way into Japanese.
Oh, nice. Everything.
Yeah, he'll be in Japan this summer. And
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I personally want you to send me all your cool Japanese stuff.
All right, I'll do that.
Well, thanks so much for being on with us today. Before we go, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Okay, my blog name is so simple. It's Perry Dharawat Blog. It's so unimaginative, I know, but it's fine. Basically, it's my name, my blog. On Twitter, I'm again Perry Dharawat, but I tend to change my handle name a lot. So just find me with Perry Dharawat. Right now, it's Read My Blog, link in bio. That's my handle name. On Instagram, I'm the Radical Dude Blog.
The Radical Doodler. I love that.
So I doodle a lot. So I used to doodle in all those boring meetings. So I thought, let me just compile it on my Instagram.
All right. Oh, we're so glad you could be on.
It was wonderful. You. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.